Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Bible says don't give place to the enemy. And some people give place to the enemy. The Bible says that we are aware of his schemes. He is scheming against you. And if you are not aware of his schemes and you cooperate with him, well, he's a roaring lion looking who he can devour.
If you are a child of God, the enemy cannot touch you. Know how to recognize his attempts. Know how to send him running. And know the authority you have as a Christ follower over Satan. With more on the power of prayer out of Luke 11:1-13, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And I love the way that's worded here in Luke. This helps us to understand what we do when we hold unforgiveness towards someone. When someone does something to us that's wrong, they are indebted to you in your mind. How do you forgive that person? You say to God, don't have to call them, I let it go, God. I no longer will hold anger towards them. I no longer will wish malice on them. Lord, I give it up. I let it go. That's forgiveness. What does God do for you when he forgives you? He lets it go. He doesn't hold it against you. So don't hold it against them. Years ago, I did a message on forgiveness. And it's always one of those that I have people who will come and talk about how hard it is. I understand that. But years ago, I did a message on forgiveness. And afterwards, a gal walks up to me and she says, I cannot remarry my ex. I just did a message on forgiveness. I'm like, what sermon were you at? Because I didn't say you had to remarry your ex. I said you had to forgive them. There's a difference. Forgive them. Let it go. Forget about it. Just wish him the best. Let it go. But you don't got to remarry him. Restoration is a whole different issue. There might even be a friend of yours that just violated some confidence. And you may go, I don't really want to restore that relationship. You don't have to. You have control over people you are close with. You don't have to be close with everyone. You can't have that many close friends anyway. You don't have to be close to someone who's done awful things to you. You don't have to put yourself into a vulnerable position again. You don't have to do that. But you do have to forgive them. You do have to let it go. So don't conflate restoration with forgiveness. And I love that Jesus says that, as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Because when someone does something against us, we now see them as indebted to us. Two more things quickly. Lead us not into temptation. That's a good thing to pray. You are going to be tempted tomorrow. Pray that you aren't led into temptation, that God would lighten that load of temptation. I think that's an interesting prayer. He didn't say, pray that you'd be able to stand against any temptation. I don't want that. I just want God to lead me not into temptation. I want that temptation to not be super strong tomorrow. And deliver me from the evil one. That's a good prayer. And this is something that's neglected. Both of these are neglected by Christians. We don't pray about temptation often, and we should. And we don't pray about being protected from the evil one. We have all authority over the evil one. And I want to make no mistake about that. If you are in Christ, the evil one can't touch you. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. However, the Bible says, don't give place to the enemy. And some people give place to the enemy. The Bible says that we are aware of his schemes. He is scheming against you. And if you are not aware of his schemes and you cooperate with him, well, he's a roaring lion looking who he can devour. He's looking to devour you. He can't devour you unless you let him, because you're in Christ. But he's looking. He's like a fisherman with his lure. Maybe. Yeah, got one. And I hope that's not you. I hope Satan isn't just hooking up on you, but that you would pray that you would be delivered from the evil one and not to lead into temptation. It's extremely practical. It's very powerful. And the Bible says, again, you don't have because you don't ask, and then you don't receive when you ask because you ask amiss. because you're asking for the wrong thing. So we need to learn the things to ask for. And the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, will you ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. So our goal is to delight ourselves in God, be in his word, Jesus's word in us, and now our desires change. And we start praying for things that God can say yes to. You might be praying for things that God says, I can't say yes to that. If you saw what's going to happen down the road, you wouldn't say yes either. But we begin to pray for things that God says yes to, and we receive the prayer. Now Jesus gets into this parable on persistence. And as I said in Matthew, the Bible says, and Jesus told this parable that his disciples should continue to pray and not quit. So we have a tendency to quit. And Jesus says, keep praying. So here's the parable. Then he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Is he saying that this annoying neighbor, you don't want a neighbor like this, come bang on your door at midnight, go away, give me bread, go away, go, he keeps knocking. And if he keeps knocking, you're finally going to let him in. Is God saying, look, if you annoy me enough, I'll give to you. I'll answer your prayers if you annoy me enough. This is not a parable of comparison. It's not saying this is what God's like. It's a parable of contrast, saying God's not like this. This is just something for us to kind of make a mental note about parables. Sometimes parables compare, and sometimes parables contrast. And this is a contrasting. In other words, it says, listen, if a friend will not give to you because you're his friend, but give to you because you annoy him, how much more will your Father, who loves you and wants to give to you if you keep asking? If you keep asking, your friend will give it to you because he's annoyed. If you keep asking, God will give it to you because he wants to. Now, why does God want us to persist in prayer? Why does God make us keep praying? Why isn't once enough? Heard someone in the faith movement say, if you pray any more than something for one time, it's a lack of faith. To which I want to respond, give me a little bit of shuddy. Jesus prayed 3 times for the cup to be removed. Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. We're told to continue in prayer. Pray for your son until it's answered. Pray for your daughter until it's answered. Don't stop praying. So why does he want us to keep praying? Number one, I just got a few thoughts, and I'll go quickly over these. Number one, there's spiritual warfare taking place. There's a spiritual realm with angels and demons, and what you're praying for most likely is affected by that spiritual realm. And when you pray, you are reaching from this world into the spiritual realm. When you pray, you are not rolling up your sleeves and getting busy to get something fixed. When you pray, you are reaching into the spiritual realm. Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 had prayed for 21 days. And an angel showed up finally. Said, on the first day you began to pray, I started coming to you, but I was withheld by the prince of Persia. And then the Michael, which Daniel 12 says he's the prince of the people of Israel, it uses this terminology, a prince of Persia, this is a demon, and then of an angel, it says the prince of Israel, Michael, will stand up in the last days. So there are these principalities out there. These are like generals in the spiritual realm. There's like generals in the demonic and angelic realm. And you say, well, that was Daniel and he's dealing with the world. And yeah, there was a spiritual battle taking place. His prayer was delayed because of that. But listen to what it says to you. Not just you, by the way, I'm pointing to you, but everybody. Listen to what it says to you. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The things you're praying about are not battles in the flesh and blood. You got a problem with your daughter? You think just going and talking to her is going to fix it? It's in the spiritual realm. There's some demonic and angelic forces that are at work. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. The prince of Persia, Daniel said in Daniel chapter 10, Michael, the great prince of the nation of Israel, will stand up, and we're struggling against principalities. These are these demons that here that we're struggling against over nations. I believe there's a prince that is an angel over the United States. And I believe that there is a prince that is a demonic prince over the United States. I believe it's every nation in the world. It says we battle against principalities, against powers. This is the next rank down. It's like general and colonel, right? And then lieutenant colonel. So it's like, but we struggle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age. It's another step down. And against a host of wickedness in heavenly places. Just a bunch of foot soldiers that are out there. We struggle against them. And then the passage goes on to say, therefore, because of that spiritual realm that you're wrestling against, put on your armor. Get your helmet of salvation on, your breastplate on, your belt of truth, and so on, right? And then after your armor is completely on, it says this, Ephesians 6:18, praying always. After you put the armor on, because you're wrestling in the spiritual realm, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Why do you got to continue praying? Because the thing you're praying for has a spiritual element to it. And only prayer can make a difference. If you could fix it by just going and fixing it, then the Bible would give us different direction. It'd be like, roll up your sleeves, get over there, take care of it. But it doesn't say that. Just a couple of my thoughts. We have to continue in prayer because we don't know what we don't know. God may already be moving partially, and you don't know that. Someone wrote me on YouTube, wrote me and said, God never answers my prayer. God has never answered my prayer. God will never answer my prayer. You don't know that. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know how much God has responded. The Bible says that when we ask God, we receive. You don't know what you don't know. In 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elijah is being attacked by the Assyrians, want to come kill Elijah. So they come and they surround his house. And a servant wakes up and he looks outside. He's like, there's the Assyrians out there. And Elijah's like, more are with us than are with them. And he's like, probably thinking, ooh, cool, cool. This guy's gone a little off the deep end. I'm looking outside, all I see is Assyrians. And Elijah says, Lord, open the young man's eyes that he may see. And the Bible says that all around Elijah were chariots of fire, horsemen, and angels that were protecting him from the Assyrian army. You don't know what you don't know. So keep praying. You think you know God isn't answering your prayer? You don't know how far along it is. You don't know what you don't know. Another thought as to why God might want you to keep praying, because through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. We're praying for the promises we have in Scripture. And Hebrews 6:12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You got to be patient. It's not going to come today. I mean, I'm not going to say it won't come today because it might. But for the most part, you got to be patient. Pray until you get it. And the last thought that I have is that God may have a purpose in making you wait. I know that's a drag. It's like when we say that God has a purpose in you suffering. You're like, could God have a purpose in some other way? Like, couldn't God have a purpose in blessing me? Wouldn't that be a great purpose? And God does. But we also know that God has a purpose in suffering. The Bible teaches that clearly. God has purposes in suffering. Jesus is the great example of that. And God has purposes in putting you in a waiting room, even though you don't like it. I would like to be able to say I don't do lines. When I walk up someplace and there's a line to get in, I'm like, I don't do lines. I'm out. I'll go down the street and whatever. I'll eat wherever, but I'm not waiting in that line. I don't do lines. I don't like waiting. I'm impatient. But some of you, God's put in a waiting room for a long time. And you're like, my appointment was an hour ago. And God's like, wait, you got to wait. So the Bible says in Isaiah 40, 38, and 31, even the young men grow weary, but those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. God's got a purpose in you continuing to pray and not seeing the answer to your prayer right away. All right? Let's cover this last thing here and we'll do it quickly. And that is that he guarantees us the answers to our prayers. He gives us, Jesus gave us guarantees that we're going to have answers to our prayers. Listen to verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Now these verbs, ask, seek, and knock, in the Greek, and I looked this up, I'm not a Greek expert, okay? So I'm relying on those who are. Tell me that it is in the, let me see if I can find the right word for this, that this is in the present active imperative. I have no idea in Greek what the present active imperative is, all right? Some of you guys might know. But I'm told it means it's in the continual. And some of your Bibles will reflect that. Ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking, seek and keep seeking. And you will receive. That's God's promise to you. If you would do what I encourage you, make your prayer life a little better tomorrow than it is today, and make it a little better the next day than it is that day. Make it a little better next week than it was the week before. Make it a little better each month than it was the month before. Then you're going to receive. Doors are going to be opened. You are going to find. That's the promise of Jesus. And so then he gives us an analogy. He says, if a son asks for bread, which father among you will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Which one of you guys are like, Dad, can I have an egg? Sure. Look under the plate. Then he says this, if you then being evil, that's Jesus's analysis of mankind. We have a preset for evil. People don't like that. They want to believe man has a preset for good, but we don't. We have a preset for evil. And we need God intervening to allow us to be good. So it says, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking? And another place it says, how much will your Father give you what you're asking for? You have a heavenly Father. You give good gifts to your children. God's holy and pure, and he's going to give more gifts to you if you would but seek him and find those things that are there. I hope that this message has been encouraging towards you in prayer. I hope I've given you some practical things that you can take with you into your life. Because if even 50% of us got a hold of prayer, as prayer is taught in the Bible, and prayed daily, effectively and efficiently, our church would never be the same. Your family would never be the same. How many people say, my godly grandmother prayed me into the kingdom of God? The things you care about deeply, pray for those, and they will never be the same. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you that we could take time to look at your word, to see these incredible truths about prayer. And we pray that you would help us, that we would get a hold of it, that we would faithfully be calling out to you. Forgive us for our prayerlessness and help us to really be efficient and effective in prayer. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for a couple of minutes. You may be here today. You may be listening to this whole thing, and you may think, well, that's great, but I don't know that God's my Father. In fact, the Bible doesn't say that all people are God's children. That's a children's song that doesn't come from the Bible. The Bible says this instead, John 1:12. As many as receive him, as many as invite him in, as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become a child of God. So you are adopted into the family of God, Ephesians chapter 1, when you invite him in and you receive him, when you believe in him. You will be transformed. Your spirit will be brought to life. And you will become a son of the light. You'll become a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords if you would invite him into your life today. So if you have never invited him in, or maybe you did it years ago, but you didn't follow through, you know you didn't follow through, and you need to follow through, you need to become his child, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you are. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you as you enter into the kingdom of God as God's child. God bless you. Under the balcony there, that's great. And God bless you out in the foyer, the pavilion. God bless you, sir. Under this balcony. Don't let this moment pass. Just, it's you and God. Lord, I want eternity. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Just raise your hand. God bless you. That's great. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those online that responded, and if you are online, you don't have to raise your hand. Just say, I want to be a child of God. I want to give him an invitation. I want everybody, I would like everybody, to pray with me, even those who raised their hand. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Very exciting. Listen, when I gave my life to the Lord at 13, when I walked away and returned at 19, both times my life was transformed. Both times God did a work inside of me, and God's going to do a work inside of you if you responded today. There's a new believers table. I want to give you a Bible and new believers packet. If you're watching online, you can send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Just tell us your story and we'll respond to you. We'll have people who interact with you. You could also send us a text, Ready for Jesus, to 94,000. You're going to get back a link. That's our new believers card. Fill that out. We just want to do everything we can do to make sure that you get a good start in your commitment as you walk for Christ. All right? So I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for your prayer life today. I want to pray for you that God would take your prayer life and do something amazing with it, and that your family and friends and the things that you care about would be blessed because you become a man or a woman of prayer. Doesn't mean you got to pray 5 hours a day, right? Just means you got to pray. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. Men in the generic term, men and women, okay, both raise your hands, made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And as you pray, I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for everyone who's here, those who are watching online, who are joining us in prayer. I pray for our prayer lives. I pray we would pray about those things we care about because you said we will get an answer to it. We believe that prayer changes destinies, that we are reaching into the spiritual realm, that we are making a difference. Lord, we pray that you would bind the enemy. We pray that you would give us victory. We pray that you would help our children, help our grandchildren, help our parents that are struggling, help our friends that need you, that can't seem to escape those addictions. Lord, we believe that this is spiritual as well. Touch, help, make a difference, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself closer to Jesus next week than you are this week, and closer the week after that than you were next week, and closer the week after that. And may your prayer life be getting a little better. The Bible says it's a foolish thing to compare ourselves to ourselves. But if I compare myself to myself, hey, I can make my prayer life better tomorrow than it is today. I can walk closer to Christ tomorrow. I can draw nearer to him tomorrow than today. May you find yourself closer to Jesus next week than you've ever been before and than you are now.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you. And his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.